Sahara Drums, from Kingston to the Nile. Join me, Tap, for a show where you can listen to the vibes of Africa blended with music of the Caribbean, where heritage speaks volumes in the form of music, combined with news, views, and opinions, bringing Africa and the Caribbean culture alive every Sunday at 1 p.m. only on 99.8 FM. See you then. Hello, this is Tap, and good afternoon and welcome to the show. Sahara Drums, taking you across from Kingston through to the Nile. As I mentioned earlier on, we have got a live jam-packed show this afternoon. So hang in there and enjoy the ride. Here we go with a song to start us with, Hop Stepping. Here we go. So fresh and clean, yeah, yeah. When we step in, we chop and chop, no in between, y'all. Say tonight, we putting on them dancing shoes, y'all. Me say put on your shoes, put on your shoes, and everybody do this move. So wine, wine, wine around, lift one foot off the ground, shake that bump, roll it back, baby, let me see you work that. We'll be right back.
Michelle Montano opening up the show. Michelle Montano is from Trinidad and Tobago, a lovely upbeat tune. So he kicks off the show for us, but we're going to just go into a very, very interesting interview now. A very lovely gentleman by the name of Dr. Elwin Yafele, and we are going to listen to what he has to share with us. So I would like to welcome Elwin onto the show.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you very much for inviting me to the show.
Great. Now, I'm sure the listeners out there are probably wondering why you've been invited onto the show, and all will soon be revealed. To start off with, Elwin, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sure. I come from Zimbabwe. I think that's a good starting point. I come from Zimbabwe, and I came to the UK back in 2000. Seems a very long time ago. So I've been here for about 20, 21 years now. So I joined my mum, who had sort of secured a teaching job here in the UK. So I came straight after I finished my A-levels in Zimbabwe. And when I came here, I think I did several jobs to start with. I did several part-time jobs. I worked as a bartender. I worked as a healthcare assistant, and then enrolled on a BA in accounting and business degree at Bournemouth University. So that was the beginning of my academic journey. I then went on to do a PhD and secured my first academic role with Bournemouth University. Then I eventually moved around. So I've worked for University of the West of England. And now I'm at Cardiff Metropolitan University, where I work as head of department for business management and law. And I have several other roles that I do across the university. For example, I am the chairperson for the Race Equality Working Group and also the university lead for the Santander University's program. Outside of university, I've got, or my 9-to-5, if you like, I do have several other interests, and I'm sure we'll delve into that as the interview progresses.
Certainly, certainly. And I'm quite curious to get a better understanding of these other interests, and I'm sure you've intrigued the listeners too. One interesting point that I came across when I was reading on your profile is you had a role, and I don't know if you still do, relating to Associate Head of Department, Faculty of International Mobility Lead. Now, what does that entail?
Okay, so there were two roles in one, if you like. So the Associate Head of Department role, this was when I worked at University of the West of England, and that was essentially line managing staff in the accounting, economics and finance department. So I had about 45 line reports, and that meant I had staff who reported to me, ranging from assistant support lecturers, lecturers, senior lecturers, associate professors, professors that I line managed. And in that particular role, my key focus really was to work around recruitment. I also worked around supporting professional development of colleagues. And I also dealt with any performance related matters. So I generally had oversight of running the department and line managing the staff within the department. In terms of the international mobility aspect of the role, so in the Faculty of Business and Law, which is the sort of the school in which my department was, the key role that I had in there was supporting in the development of our internationalization strategy. And as part of that internationalization strategy, one of the key aspects that I was responsible for was the staff and student mobility work. So we had partnerships across Europe, Asia, North America, and I facilitated opportunities for staff to go and teach abroad. So our staff would go away, teach for a week, or they'll teach for a longer period, depending on the arrangement we've got with a partner university. And in the same way, we also arranged similar mobility arrangements for our students. So partner students would come and study with us in Bristol for a period of one semester, and sometimes it would be for a whole academic year. And those were reciprocal arrangements for our students. And I think the key sort of benefit, or one of the key benefits in that respect, was around raising awareness in terms of cultural differences. So our students develop their employability skills, they develop their cultural awareness, and they certainly develop their academic agility from, you know, being exposed to a different learning environment, being exposed to a different way of life, being exposed to a new language made a big difference in terms of their employability. So that is essentially what I did in that role as a faculty international mobility lead.
So if I could sum it up, especially the latter part on the international mobility lead, nurturing and embracing diversity. Did you see that through your experience come to fruition?
Yes, I did. So the straight answer is yes, I did. One of the things that I've always been passionate about is employability. When students join the university, my view has always been, you know, you're not paying to walk away with a certificate at the end of your studies. You're paying to immerse yourself in the university experience, and you're paying to be skilled up in such a way that when you graduate from the program, you're in a competitive position in the labor market. And from the work that we did, mobility, one of the key things that I sort of witnessed and saw was that students were certainly more culturally aware. Students knew how to better navigate spaces where they're dealing with people from diverse backgrounds. And whilst I was doing that job, one of the key things, you know, out of my interest in terms of employability, I used to liaise with several employers. And one of the key things that they used to highlight to us in terms of the areas with which our students need to enhance their skills is how to deal with multicultural situations, particularly in an increasingly globalized world. A lot of our students go into these organizations and they're working with people from Spain, people from America, and often if they don't have the that cultural awareness, it has a huge impact in terms of business performance. It has a huge impact in terms of their own personal progression. It has an impact in terms of their own social interactions. So from giving students these opportunities, not only sending them abroad, but also giving them an opportunity to learn with students from other countries, made a huge impact in developing their own cultural awareness. Sorry, that was a very long answer but I really wanted to illustrate what the impact was to students.
Thank you very much. And don't worry, it wasn't a long answer at all. It was very well articulated, which then intrigues my curiosity in terms of, you mentioned increasingly globalization, which is a very, very valid point. Therefore, what else still needs to be done in this space, be it at a local level or a national level, from your perspective?
Wow, that is a loaded question. I think that The reason why I think it's a loaded question is because, and without going into the details behind events such as Brexit, I do think that at a local and national level, at the very basic level, in fact, is one of the most important things is to just be human.
Right.
Is to just be compassionate with and about each other. And I think when we sort of learn about other people's backgrounds, particularly those that are that differ to ours, that only makes us better people. And there is a role for organizations to play in this work. So some of the initiatives that universities are taking in terms of international mobility goes a long way in sort of developing and enhancing our awareness and working together with people from different backgrounds. But at a sort of macro or national level, I think local governments, national governments have a massive piece of work on their hands in terms of uniting people with different views, different backgrounds, right. And some of the work that we're doing at the moment with Welsh Government in particular is looking at how we eradicate barriers. It's looking at how we become more compassionate about each other. It's looking at how we work better and work together as a nation.
Okay. Listening to you, you sound humbly optimistic. On a scale of 1 to 10, how optimistic are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say that I don't like to use 7. I don't like to use 7 because that's what everyone... It's a safe number. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I think we are at 6. So in terms of my own optimism, I think where it's more around the 8 mark, but in terms of where we are at the moment, we're at the around 6 mark.
But so the reality is at a 6. You I think would like to be, your heart leads you to an 8.
I think we're currently at a 6, but in terms of my optimism, ambitions, aspirations, I think it's more of an 8 because I see a lot of progress. I see a lot of progress. We've come a long way. We're still dealing with the same issues that we have been talking about, 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of progress, particularly in the last sort of 2 to 3 years.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, I want to talk about something that is very, very relevant, especially over the last close on to 2 years. What has the impact of the pandemic been on academia as a whole from your perspective?
Oh, right. So in terms of the pandemic on academia, the impact has been huge. It has been absolutely massive. So I think the first thing is universities are environments in which, the students come together, the staff come together. They're usually buzzing cultural hubs. And if you take, for instance, my current institution, we have students from over 140 countries. The pandemic has meant that we can't come together. It has dismantled that community that we're used to, and we've had to learn, we've had to work in different ways. So in terms of the impact, I think firstly, the social element, the social dynamics have been completely different. The campus feel has been very different. The way in which we deliver our provision to students has been significantly different from the staffing perspective. We've had to learn new ways of delivering to students. We've had to undergo a lot of training and development, and it's really in a bid to try and ensure that the quality of the provision that we offer the students is maintained at a very high level. So that has been very difficult. And from the student perspective, trying to learn from, you know, constantly looking at a screen, and half the time, you know, you're not seeing other students, and the manner in which things are delivered has been significantly different. The way in which you're assessed is different. It has been terribly difficult for the students. And there are also other things such as, I mean, just the practicalities of having to work from home as we have done during the lockdowns. That has been hugely difficult for both staff and students. And in many cases, working and learning from home where you have limited space, limited resource technology, you had issues with the internet and such like. In the case of our international communities, if we're running a lecture at 1 p.m., the time difference with someone who's in China or India, it could easily be midnight, the other side of the world. So all those challenges have been really difficult to navigate for both staff and students.
Right.
Financial perspective, I think, as I've mentioned, we have students from over 140 countries, and the fact that they're not able to come and study in the physical with us has had a huge impact on university finances. At Cardiff Metropolitan, we have been exceptionally lucky, and I will use the word lucky because, you know, it was very difficult to plan around this. We've been exceptionally lucky that our student recruitment has increased, international student recruitment has increased, but it's not the same for other universities.
Right.
So there have been a lot of challenges in terms of the university community, the way we work, the way we learn, university finances, and so on. So yeah, it's just been a terribly, terribly difficult time. And what I have found, I particularly applaud the students.
Right.
Students have just got on with it. They've taken their time. They've been very understanding about the situation. And they've taken time to acclimatize to the new way of working. So it's been brilliant in that respect, but it has been a terribly challenging time.
Right.
For you.
So a lot of resilience from the students' part as well. And I would imagine, with some respect, to the staff as well, to the lecturers, for instance, because there's had to be a change of technique and an application of those techniques, it's something that was not necessarily anticipated.
That's absolutely right. I mean, one of the just a simple example, you have the challenge of, number one, you can't see the students that you're teaching because most will have their screens switched off, and largely due to bandwidth issues, you know, with connectivity and all sorts. So if I crack a joke as a lecturer, I can't gauge whether that joke has landed or not because,
right,
because the class is off camera and they're on mute. So in terms of how I interact with the students, that has been completely different. And the other thing is that we've been having to record sessions. So as I've mentioned, someone might be the other side of the world, and we're running the lecture during an unsociable hour. So we're then recording those sessions. But as a lecturer, I'm then conscious to all these things.
Wow.
So the way I handle that class is very different and not as natural as I probably would if we were having a face-to-face session. So
right,
those are challenges that we've encountered.
Well, on a lighter note, I know that your jokes would have landed every single time. So there's no need to worry about that.
So that's the first part of our interview with Aylwin. Please do tune in next Sunday for the second part of our interview. Very, very insightful. He also talks about other things in terms of entrepreneurship, and he also gives advice to young adults starting off in the world. So please do tune in next Sunday to listen to the second part of the interview. I will now take you into a track that I'm sure Aylwin would love, and this is from Oliver Mutukudzi, Todi. And to listen to the rest of the tracks played on the show, follow the YouTube URL below, or you can go to YouTube and search Sahara Drums, 14th of November 2021. Thank you for listening and enjoy.